Bible podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
It is found in John chapter 10, verse 10, where it says, "The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, and yet Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Notice the words life and life to the full. In the King James Version, as I mentioned previously, the word life to the full or words life to the full is replaced by the words more abundantly. In both cases, the original Greek word was the word perisos. And as I've mentioned previously, the word perisos means superior quality life, superabundant quantity life, beyond excessive advantage in life. As I've also pointed out, the best picture of this is in the book of Psalm chapter 1, where it describes us to be a tree planted by streams of water, which is a picture of a blessed relationships. Bearing fruit in season is simply what it means to have blessed relationships. Secondly, it says, your leaves shall not wither, which is a picture of a life that's healed, a life that's well, a life that's blessed with health. And finally, it says, whatever you do prospers. And as you know, you cannot have fruit or leaves without a trunk and without branches, which means blessed provisions. These are the marks, as I pointed out in the first week, of the abundant life in Christ, blessed relationships, blessed health, and blessed provisions. But I also explained to you last week that the key to this is the part that you don't see or the root system, this being our spiritual life, the part that no one sees. Today, I want to put a conclusion to this set of messages by talking to you about the principle of sowing and reaping, a very important principle that will cause these things to actually work and produce the tree that bears fruit in season, that leaves do not wither, and whatever you do prospers. In the book of Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, it says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows." It explains, don't be misled. Don't be fooled. God cannot be mocked, or rather, God cannot be fooled. What a man sows, a man reaps what he sows, and I've decided to entitle this message, Return on Investment. That's exactly what this thing means. When you sow something, you reap something. By the way, the important thing to understand about the principle of sowing and reaping is this is a universal principle. However, the way Jesus outlines it in Scripture is something rather very different. The first principle we need to understand about this is we reap what we sow. A very simple, straightforward truth. If you plant corn, you do not harvest potatoes. That's just not the case. When you plant corn, you harvest corn. In the simple truth about nature as we see it, however, the spiritual implications are very serious. Galatians chapter 6, verse 8 says, "Whoever sows to please the flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction." It's one thing to plant corn and harvest corn, but when you sow to the flesh, you will reap destruction. And so we reap what we sow is an important part of the principle of sowing and reaping, but to understand that when we sow to the flesh, we reap destruction. What exactly does this mean? Sowing to the flesh simply means sowing to the sinful nature. When you sow to the sinful nature, such as hatred, envy, gossip, unforgiveness, perversion, fraud, or deception, when you sow these things, you will reap these things. In fact, Galatians chapter 5:19 gives us a list of things that are the acts of the flesh. Sexual immorality, drunkenness, and all of these things, orgies and the like. These things, I warn you, he says, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. In short, when we sow to the flesh, we reap from the flesh and we reap destruction. Further, in Job chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "As I have observed, those who plow evil and those who sow trouble reap it." In other words, be careful not to sow to the flesh or sowing to the sinful nature. There's a second part to this idea of sowing to the flesh, and that is sowing to our limitations. Let me explain. The truth of the matter is our flesh or our bodies are limited by time and space, the same way that the computer is limited by its time and space that it's contained in. The person who created the computer does not live in the computer. Steve Jobs does not live in the computer and make the calculations and make things move. Neither does he live inside the iPhone, because he's the creator. The creator lives beyond time and space. This is not just true of Steve Jobs. This is true of God himself. God does not live within time and space, which makes God an incredible spiritual being who is capable of doing things beyond our human limitations. When we sow to the flesh, we sow to the weak side of us. When we sow to the spirit, everything is possible. And that's why God doesn't want us to sow to the flesh. He wants us to sow to the spirit. Galatians chapter 6, verse 8, as is mentioned, whoever sows to please the flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Further, it says, whoever sows to please the spirit, from the spirit will reap eternal life. Which brings me to my second point. We reap what we sow. To the flesh, we reap destruction. To the spirit, we reap life. Now, back again to Jesus saying, I've come to give you life. It says in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, but the fruit of the spirit is love, is joy, is peace, forbearance or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. In other words, these fruits that we have are the things that we receive when we sow into the Spirit. When we sow into the Spirit, not only does it affect our spiritual lives, it affects our relational lives because love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, these are relational. And it affects our physical lives because faithfulness and gentleness to ourselves and even self-control affects even our financial lives. And thus we have the abundant life when we sow to the Spirit. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, it says, and God is able to bless you abundantly because he does not live in time and space. He does not live within the confines of limitations. He is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need. Now, we said we reap what we sow. To the flesh, we reap destruction. To the spirit, we reap life. In other words, the third thing we should do is it's a daily choice. Sowing is a daily choice. The same way that you choose what you eat, when you can eat the wrong things or eat the right things, is the same way you can make spiritual choices that are good for you, relational choices that are healthy for you, and you have physical choices that are good for you as well as financial choices that will be good for you. The second point I want to make is we reap after we sow. You can't reap before you sow. You first have to sow before you reap. We reap after we sow, which means it's about preparation. In Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, it says, sow righteousness for yourselves and reap the fruit of unfailing love. Notice where it says, if you sow righteousness for yourselves, you will reap the fruit of unfailing love. And here's the key, and break up your unplowed ground. Jesus talks about the ground which is in our hearts, and he speaks about the different types of soil that is needed to be plowed. And he talks about, first of all, the soil in the path, which has been hardened and caked and makes our hearts hard. And thus, the seed cannot penetrate and there is no way the roots can grow and the birds just take away the seeds. He then cites the picture of the rocky soil, where you have now a rocky heart that's full of rocks where there is no place for the roots to thrive and grow. And finally, he talks about the soil that is filled with thorns and thistles, which choke out the roots and kill the plant, a thorny heart. The heart that Jesus was talking about is the plowed heart, the heart that is aerated, the heart that is ready, the heart that is soft, the heart where you remove the rocks and the hard places and you remove the thorns and the thistles, because only then can the roots begin to grow. When we prepare our hearts, and by the way, just a word of caution here, this takes time. Now, Hosea chapter 10, verse 12 continues, sow righteousness for yourselves, reap the fruit of unfailing love, break up your unplowed ground, and he explains exactly what that means. In the next part of the verse, it says, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers his righteousness on you. It is time to seek the Lord. What does it mean to have a plowed heart? It simply means a heart that is prepared, a heart that is removing the hardness that is compacted and allows itself to be plowed through, a heart where the rocks are removed and the thorns are removed so that the roots of God's truth that we sow into it will grow. Apart from that, we will not reap anything because we will only reap after we sow. Secondly, it's about time and season. When you plant a tree, you don't expect the tree to grow overnight. It actually takes time. Why? There is no such thing as overnight success. The truth of the matter is most good things take time. And here's the amazing thing about how this works. Time is the measure from the beginning to the end. But more than just time, it also involves seasons. It's not just over time, it's also over seasons. Our trees grow over spring, which is elected for growth, summer, which is elected for strengthening, autumn, which is designed so that we can transition to the next step, and rest for winter, which is the time when our bodies, our lives, our spirits, our finances need to take a rest so that we can grow to the next season of spring. More growth, more strengthening, transition to another period of rest, and then another period of growth, strengthening, transition, and then rest again. Spring was ordained for growth. Summer was ordained for strengthening. Autumn was meant for transition. You cannot just keep growing at the same level or stay at the same level. You have to transition to the next level. And winter was ordained for rest. When we apply this to our lives, we don't just go through time, which has a beginning and an end. We become seasoned or mature. And as we mature, growth is the next level. More than just growth, healthy growth is what's important. In short, we reap after we sow, and it's about time and preparation, and it's also about time and season. Finally, it's about faithfulness. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10, I explained to you earlier, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food and also supply increased store for seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Notice where it explains he who supplies seed to the sower and will also supply the increase of your store of seed. Supplying seed and then supplying seed that you store. In short, to be able to grow at the level that God wants us to have this abundant life, we don't just sow the seed, we actually store some of the seed for future sowing. Our trees are like this apple tree that has roots in it and it's bearing fruit, and it's necessary for us to understand that everything God does always starts with a seed. And thus, we need to be faithful with our spiritual seeds, the spiritual seeds of the Word of God, with our relational seeds, our relationships, our friends, our families, the people we work with. There are seeds that we can sow into these relationships. With our physical seeds, our health and our bodies have limits and have realities that we need to sow the right things into. And finally, our financial seeds are just works the same way. We need to be faithful to understand that everything God does starts with a seed. Now, notice where it says this. It goes on to say, if you do that, he will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. He will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Not only will you receive a harvest, you will receive a harvest of the right things. This is what it means to have the abundant life. It's over time, it's over season, it takes preparation, but it also takes faithfulness. And so, it is important for us to keep sowing our seeds over time and season. Now, there's an interesting article I read from the 1421 Foundation about a seed that was discovered in 1983 in the tomb in central China. These seeds were 2,000 years old. When people put a piece of cloth that was damp on top of it, the seeds began to sprout and they began to grow and they turned out to be tomatoes. It's interesting how powerful seeds are. When we become faithful to taking care of our seeds, when we prepare our hearts in the right place, when we make sure that the rocks are removed and the thistles and thorns are removed, and we plow that ground and sow the right seed, it doesn't matter when or how long or how old the seeds are, they will grow and bring us the abundant life that Jesus promised us. A third principle in the principle of sowing and reaping is we reap more than we sow. Probably my most favorite part of this principle of sowing and reaping. We don't just reap what we sow. We don't just reap after we sow. We reap more than we sow. Now, remember that when you see an apple seed, that tiny little seed is capable of making a tree that has many apples, that has many seeds. This is the principle of we reap more than we sow. Under this principle, we find three laws, the law of spiritual giving. Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, which I explained to you earlier, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Now, as you're reading that, I want you to look at the next verse. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Let me break this down for you. When you understand that you have been faithful to sow your seeds properly, you will be enriched in every way, spiritually, physically, financially, emotionally, in every way, relationally, every which way will grow because you have sown the right seeds. Now, notice it says, so that you may be generous. The whole point of God wanting you to be enriched in every way is so you can give. And through your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. God is honored as we apply this principle, this spiritual principle of giving. In Luke chapter 6, verse 38, it says, give, for if you give, it will be given to you, sowing and reaping. Not only that, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. Notice what it says, give and it will be given to you. What you sow is what you reap. But more than that, because you did it in the spiritual principle of giving, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, pressed down some more, running over, overflowing, it will start falling into your lap. This is the principle. Now, here's the point. In verse 38, the second half says, for with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. The same way that you measure things, if you give it begrudgingly, if you give it in little in increments, or you give it generously, it will be measured back to you. We reap more than we sow. And the law of spiritual giving is part of the first part of this understanding. The second part of this understanding is the law of God's blessing. There's probably no other miracle recorded in all the four Gospels except for the resurrection of Christ that was recorded in all four of the Gospels than the multiplication of the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. There's no other miracle of this magnitude recorded in all Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I want to visit 2 of those accounts, first in Mark chapter 6, verse 30, which tells us the principle that I'm about to unpack to you. Now, notice what it says in verse 30. The apostles are gathered around Jesus, and they reported him all they had done and taught. They were sowing spiritually. They were discipling people. They were preaching, and they were happy to report to Jesus what was going on. Then because so many people, a lot of people have been blessed by their sowing, and coming and going, they did not even have a chance to eat. Notice, in their busyness and the number of times they were sowing, they were actually not being able to eat. Jesus, in the second part of the verse, says, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place, and let's get some rest. When they went over to the other place, in verse 34, they landed and saw a large crowd, and Jesus had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. I hope you're following me. They've been sowing, they've been working, they've been sowing the seed of spirituality, and then they end up in this place about to rest, and they land and more ministry came. It says, so they began to teach them many things. He began again to teach and started to minister, and they started to work with him. But by this time, it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him and said, if I can dramatize this, Jesus, it's getting late. This place is a little remote. We haven't eaten yet. You said we're going to rest. I'm not sure. And watch this. I mean, if you understand, they've been sowing and sowing and sowing, and now they're tired and they haven't eaten and they thought they were going to rest, and yet it didn't happen. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and so they can buy for themselves something to eat. Now, here's the funny thing. It says, but he answered, no. You give them something to eat. And they're probably puzzled and thinking, we don't have anything to eat. We're so hungry. We've been sowing. We're so tired. And now you want us to give them something to eat. I want us to now visit the account in the book of John. In John chapter 6, verse 5, it says that Jesus saw the great crowd coming toward him. And he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? Now, here's Philip, who's been sowing, working, tired, sweating, probably doesn't smell good anymore, and thinking about, I haven't even eaten, and this guy's telling me to give these guys food to eat. Now, here's the interesting thing in the account in John. It says, he asked this only to test him. The principle of Jesus, the principle of sowing more or reaping more than you sow, is here when God tests us. For he already had in mind what he was going to do. He was about to show these guys the principle of spiritual blessing. Here in verse 7, Philip answered him, it would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one of these to even have a bite. This is impossible, Jesus. This can't happen. You see, Jesus does not live, or God does not just live in time and space. He is capable of doing something that's beyond our abilities, which is the principle of blessing. In verse 8, it says, another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon, Peter's brother, spoke up and said, here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. He says, oh, there's this guy peddling this fish, probably, maybe walking around there, saw an opportunity. But how long will they go with so many? In other words, what's the point? You see, when God starts to bless us, it changes everything. More than just thinking that you sow what you reap, or you reap what you sow, or you sow, it takes God blessing what you sow for you to see these things multiply. Now back to Mark chapter 6, verse 41, Jesus taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and he broke the loaves. Thus, return on investment was so high that it fed 5,000 people. When you invest in someone, when you want something to return at a high rate, you don't just put it on anything. You check the person's character. When you put the little thing that you have in the hands of Jesus, you know that person has character. Any investment starts with a consideration of the character of the person. Any investment comes with the collateral. Does this guy have the resources? And when you put the little things that you have in God's hands, you understand that he doesn't have the character or the collateral, but he has the capability and the capacity to multiply it. This is the principle that Jesus wanted to show us. Then he gave them to his disciples, distributed to the people, and divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate, and they were all satisfied. When you sow, we reap more than we sow. This is the principle of sowing and reaping. The law of spiritual giving, the law of God's blessing, and finally, the law of spiritual multiplication. Spiritual multiplication is not kind of multiplication we see in nature. It's way beyond that. Watch what happens. From nothing, in verse 43, the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of pieces of bread in excess of after feeding 5,000 men. Think about that. In excess. From nothing to something. When we sow in the Spirit, when we understand the principle of sowing and reaping, we understand what we reap, what we sow. In short, if we sow to the flesh, we reap destruction. If we sow to the Spirit, we reap life. And it's a daily choice, a choice of putting in the right seeds every day. Secondly, we reap after we sow. It's about preparing our hearts and making sure we're removing the rocks and the hardness and the thorns and the thistles and the worries of this life, and trusting that we are willing to sow what Jesus commands us to sow, which are the seeds that is entrusted to us. We reap after we sow also means it's about time and season. More than that, it's about faithfulness. But then there's the idea of we reap more than we sow. Spiritual principles at play changes everything. While there is a reality of time and season and faithfulness, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than you could ever ask for, think, or imagine. The law of spiritual giving, where God multiplies when you start to give. The law of spiritual blessing, where the magnitude of satisfaction comes when God blesses the little that we have. And finally, the law of spiritual multiplication, which multiplies exponentially what God wants to give us. Finally, I want to close this segment on meditating on the Word of God with a proclamation of who Jesus is. Would you pick up a piece of bread and a cup as you join me in this word of prayer? Lord Jesus, we proclaim your goodness to us and your desire to give us the abundant life. As we endeavor to grow our spiritual roots, grant us a heart and mind that understands the principle of sowing and reaping. More importantly, that we can apply to our own lives with each passing day. May we fully understand that we will always reap what we sow, and that we will only reap after we sow. Finally, may we operate our lives in knowing that we will reap more than we sow as you bless and multiply what we give. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.